Just a little bit of announcement to do first, so if you would, be seated. Let me talk about this, the events that are coming up, and I'm going to be asking your help. Amen. Now, we'll talk, if you want to volunteer to help during our End Time Prophecy Conference, I'd invite you to come to the fellowship hall after. Let me give you some ideas. For example, I went outside just a little bit ago while church was going on, and there was zero parking places on the pavement. Every single parking spot was full. Now, if that happens next week and a guest comes in, they might just drive right around and go out the parking lot and drive out of our parking lot if they think there's no room for them in the inn. So here's my request. If you consider Apostolic Lighthouse to be your church, amen, I'm talking to you. If this is your church, that I'm asking you next Saturday and next Sunday for those two services that is our prophecy conference, do not park on the pavement. Amen. Now, people who park in the grass, I noticed today they're kind of, you know, they're just pulled in. But if you would park straight in rather than long ways, if you'd park straight in, then we'd probably double the amount of cars that could park in the grass. So if you park in the grass in front, just nose right in and let somebody park next to you. You may have to be creative. I plan to park in the backyard. My truck has no problem jumping over a little curb. there's other people with pickup trucks that could jump the curb and park on the grass that is not so convenient for a little car to park on. Some people may choose to park in the parking lot next door, in the city parking lot. But I'm asking you to be creative. And if this is your church, including the residents of our property, your vehicles should not be on the pavement next week. You got that? Find somewhere else to park. Come to church, but be creative in your parking. Amen. Another couple little things. I'd like to have greeters at the front door and at the side door. I'd like to have ushers in the back and in the front. We're going to need extra ushers for the offering. We're going to need some people to set up on Saturday. So I'm going to talk about all those things after church. I'm going to be asking people to raise your hand and commit that you will do a particular job and help us. So if you would like to volunteer and help in our prophecy conference, meet me in after church in the fellowship hall and we'll sign you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. God is so good. God is better to us than we can even understand. Amen. God is better to us than we even know. God is so good. Amen. Well, there is I'm a part of this prayer group text, and I get these things regularly, little thoughts of Scripture and thoughts of the Word and thoughts from a few of the brethren. Last Monday came a thought about Naaman, and Joel and I, he's my ride to church buddy, and we were talking about it in the car last Monday on our way to prayer meeting, or maybe it was on the way home from prayer meeting, I forget, but it just didn't leave me. I thought, wow, it's an awesome thing how God can use little things to make a big difference in our life. Anybody believe that?
Yes.
Amen. God can use little things to make a huge difference in our life. Amen. All right, I'm ready for Scripture. Would you stand with me? 2 Kings chapter 5. That's where I'd like to turn your attention. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning to read at verse number 10. Let me read there. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Arbana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He's not happy. Let me just continue to read. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Not good. Don't go away because of what the man of God tells you in a rage. If you get mad at my preaching, don't go away mad. Amen. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29. It says, But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things which are. That no flesh should glory in my presence. This is a thought that I have spoken on before. It's this. Simple things. Amen. If you know me, you know I like simple things. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Lord, you are such a great God. Lord, and thank you, Lord, for the simple things that you give us to do. For the simple thing in the Word. I pray, Lord, that you would give me anointing to speak, Lord, of your Word. To speak, Lord, to your people. And I pray that, Lord, you would open our understanding. Open our minds and our hearts. And, Lord, just let your will, God, touch our lives. And let the Holy Ghost, God, lead us. And, God, have your will to be accomplished and done today. Lord, in this your people, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Starts out this story with Naaman. Naaman was a powerful, influential. He was a man of authority. He was a man of power. He undoubtedly was a man of substance. A captain of the Syrian army. Given much wealth and much power. He was a very influential person. But more than his power, more than his influence, the thing that was driving him was a physical condition in his body. You see, Naaman was a leper. It perhaps in that day could have well been the most dreaded of all the diseases. For the people knew that there was no cure. There was no way to stop the progression of that disease. That it would continually get worse and worse. The expectation was always bad. No matter if you were powerful or if you were wealthy, or doesn't matter how much influence you have. You see, Naaman was a leper. He had a little servant maid that come from Israel. He was serving in his house. And this little maid, this servant girl, witnessed unto her master and said, "There is a prophet in Israel." You see, we may think that, oh, when I get older, I can testify. No, our young people are powerful right now. They've just come out of a youth convention, and what they heard was true. God is in their lives right now. I don't believe that the youth of our day are going to be the church of tomorrow. I believe that they are an important, integral, and essential part of the church right now. Amen. This little youth, this young girl, was able to witness to the most powerful man that she knew, the captain of the Syrian guard, Naaman. There is a prophet in Israel. I'll tell you, there's youth in our church that are able to say, "I know there is a God." Amen. "I know that Jesus is able to help you." Amen. You know, he believed this maiden girl's witness. He so much believed that he sent word that he was coming. He made great preparations to go. He carried with him gifts that he could bestow upon maybe the king, or maybe upon the prophet, or maybe upon his servants, or maybe upon those that help him on his way. But he made great preparations for the journey. He carried with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of raiment of clothing. You see, he came prepared to bless or to give gifts unto all of those that were a part of his receiving his healing. He came with the intention, "I need a healing." I'll tell you what, there are people that are desperate in our world that have come to the place where they know that they're in trouble. They know that they have a problem. They know that they need help. They've done everything that they can do themselves. They've tried everything they know. And yet, their only hope is in God. It is true that there are things only God can fix in our lives. Naaman couldn't fix this problem on his own. He couldn't hire the doctor to give him a pill. He couldn't hire the surgeon to operate. He couldn't buy the influence that he needed. There was nothing in his human power that could change his situation. And so, as a last resort, he made a journey to find the prophet in Israel. Sad to say, but it is true, sometimes the last place somebody will look for help is in the church. But you know what? Sometimes the last place you look is the place that you find help. Amen. I tell you, my God is a helper. My God is a healer. Amen. My God does according to His great power. Amen. He received the word. He thought that, you know, the king would welcome him and that he would be ushered into the presence of the prophet, and that the prophet was, he expected it to be different than it was. You see, the prophet didn't even come out. Come out to meet him. The prophet didn't even come out of the house to speak to him. He sent his servant with a word to say, dip 7 times in Jordan, and you will be clean. Amen. You see, it was a simple thing. Somebody say simple thing. The prophet sent the word of the Lord and gave him a simple thing to do. Naaman did not take it very well. Naaman became angry. I thought that he would surely come out to me. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know I've come a long way? That this journey was very expensive? That this journey took much time? It was a lot of effort on our part to be here. I thought that he would come and stand by me and call on the name of his God, that he would pray, and I thought that he would strike his hand over the place of my body where the leprosy was, and that I would be healed. You see, Naaman had a vision of what he was coming and going to receive. He was expecting the prophet to come and pray. He was expecting to receive a miracle. He was expecting to be healed. I'll give him that. That was good. Then he had the complaint. When he heard the instruction, when he heard the simple thing that the man of God told him, that God said, the word of the Lord that came to him was simple. Someone say simple. I tell you, God is He wants us to do the simple thing. It's not hard. It's simple. But then he thought, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Jordan could be muddy, murky, can't see in it good, looks dirty. Flowed by places where people lived, and you know, stuff gets put in the river that is not pleasant. Rivers get polluted. Rivers are not always clean. And in this case, he thought the rivers back home are way better than these rivers. It would be better for me to wash in a clean river than a dirty one. He's thinking in his mind. He's racing over these thoughts in his head. You know what? That will get us in trouble. When we think in our mind things against the Word of God, when we think in our mind the things that are against what the Word says, the Word does give us simple instructions to follow. May I not wash in them and be clean? Goes away mad. Here's the word of his servant. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, it says, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou have not have done it? You see, being the man who he was, if the prophet had said, oh, make a huge donation to my favorite charity, he could have done that. He had the ability to make a huge donation. He carried with him great wealth. In fact, he was ready to give great gifts. He came prepared for that. The prophet didn't ask for that. The prophet didn't ask for great gifts. He didn't ask for a big offering. If the prophet had said, give me a city, the captain of the army could deliver him a city. If he had asked for some great thing, give me power, give me influence, he could have delivered those things. It was within his power to deliver great favor. But yet, the prophet didn't ask for great favor. Simple instructions. So amazingly simple. How simple is wash and be clean? It was a simple thing that the prophet asked. You see, Naaman's miracle was contingent upon his ability not to use his great authority, not to spend his great wealth, not to give favor or influence, but his miracle was contingent on a simple thing. The easy task of dipping 7 times in Jordan. Our adversary, the devil, tries to convince our human mind that some great thing is required of us before we could be right with God, before we can experience a miracle in our life. I don't know how many times, but very many times, I've heard people say, "Oh, when I get things straightened out, I'm going to come to church. You know, just as soon as I'm able, I'm coming." Well, what makes you not able? Oh, well, I could step on a whole bunch of toes right here. Let me not go into meddling. But if there is something that is keeping you away from hearing the word of the Lord, that thing is in your way. Whatever it is. If there is something that is keeping you from praying and seeking His face. Young people, if there is something that is keeping you from spending 30 minutes a day in the Word of God, then your day is too busy. You know, I might add, the adults too. That's not just young people. That's good advice no matter who you are. If you're too busy for the Word of God, you're too busy. Make time for God, for the things of God, for the house of God, for the Word of God, for communication with God. Amen. You see, when we come to the place where we know that we need a miracle in our life, you see, God only asks us to do what is clearly within our own ability. God is not going to ask you to do something that you cannot do. Amen. If God asks you to do it, God will enable you to do what He asks. And if God asks you to do a great thing, guess what? God is going to go with you, that He will help you do it. Be encouraged. God only asks us to perform, to do what is possible in our lives. Amen. The impossible, the supernatural, the great and marvelous wonders, He reserves for Himself. Amen. If God does ask you to pray for someone to be healed, guess what? You don't do the healing. God does. God gets all of the glory. God has all of the power. God gets all of the credit for every good thing that God gives in our lives. Amen. God has blessed my life. God will bless your life when you do the simple things. Amen. The unbelievable, the undeniable, the miraculous, that's the realm of the supernatural at the hand of God. They are always preceded by an obedient, simple act of man. Amen. Every time God does a miracle, there's a simple thing a person does. Amen. God is often waiting on us to do what we can do so that He can do what only He can do. Amen. The truth is, God only asks us to do what is clearly within our ability. And in response to that, He will do what is beyond our ability and do what God is able to do. Amen. Yes, if there is a need for healing in your body today, I know that God is still a healer. Amen. No matter what it is in your life, if you've come into this house today, and if you are anything like this man in Scripture, if you're come to the place where I cannot fix this self, I cannot fix this myself, I cannot do it on my own, it is beyond my ability, if you've come to that place, then there is a God that wants you to do a simple thing for Him to give you a miracle today. Amen. We do the ordinary. God does the extraordinary. Amen. No one, either in heaven or earth, is calling us to do anything beyond our own ability. On the contrary, we reach, God redeems. Amen. We teach, God transforms. We send, God gives. I got the text from Brother Crowder. He came back from Guyana from his mission trip. Thank you for those that helped. We gave an offering that helped Brother Crowder to be in, and I believe it was 124 or something. I forget exactly the number. It was over 100 people that during his week of preaching received the Holy Ghost. A number of people baptized, and miracles were done by the hand of God in those services. Amen. You know what? God gets all of the credit. Amen. It's not in the man. It's in the God. Praise the Lord. We pray, God provides. Amen. We do what we can do, and He does what only He can do. Amen. I was talking to someone earlier this week, and we were talking about that verse of Scripture right there, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. It is such a simple Scripture in one verse in the Bible. It tells us the direction on how to begin to be saved. Amen. How that we do the simple thing of asking God to forgive us, and God does the miraculous thing to forgive our sins. Amen. We agree to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See how it says that? It's very specific. You know, the prophet said, dip 7 times in Jordan, go down in the water, just like I tell you, and your problem will be solved. Well, isn't it okay? I was baptized as a baby. They sprinkled me and I was baptized. That's not what the Word of God says. The simple thing in the Word of God says, be baptized, go down into water. There's many examples in Scripture of people being baptized. And in every instance, all of the time, they were baptized by immersion in water in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. You know, it says it's different ways, but it's always in Jesus' name. You know, that is a simple thing. And yet, sometimes people get all upset. Well, if you get all puffed up and mad, you're not getting mad at me. You're getting mad at God. Because these are God's simple instructions. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, tells us what to do and how to do it. Then He gives us the promise, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That means He will give you the Holy Ghost. That means God promises His Spirit to come upon you. God always, always, always keeps His promises. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. You see, these are simple things. And there are 5 elements common to all supernatural events. Every supernatural event that I've ever heard of, that I've ever read, that I've ever seen, that I've ever been witness to, all of them had these common elements. One, someone faced an absolutely impossible situation. Condition number one. Number two, it was beyond man's ability to change that problem. Naaman had those things. He had this kind of problem. Number three, God's simple command was heard. Number four, man undertakes to do the simple thing that God said. Amen. And then, number five, God does the spectacular. God performs a miracle. Amen. The scriptures provide, if we will do what we can do, the simple thing, then God will do what He has promised to do. God always keeps His word. Every time, all the time, every place, for everyone. Amen. Elisha had an experience with an axe head. And there was a problem that they didn't know how to fix. He cut a stick and he cast it into the water. And God solved the problem. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning to read there, verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, and we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They're in a building project. Every man is going to carry what he can, and they're going to take back materials to build the house of God, to build something in the kingdom. They were joining themselves together in a building project. But as one was felling a beam, he was doing what he should, he was doing what he could, he was doing the best he was able, and the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, he's calling on the man of God, for it was borrowed. He didn't know now, I can't chop wood anymore. This is the end of my effort. What am I going to do now? Man of God, help! You know what? When we need help, it's okay to call on God. It's okay to ask the man of God. It's okay to pray and seek God. It's okay to ask for an answer that's beyond your control. Amen. Verse number 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. It's way out there, man of God. It flew, it went, it fell over there. Man of God, and he cut down a stick and he cast it in thither. He threw a stick in the water. Now, what kind of answer is that? It was the answer that he needed to solve the problem. God's ways are way above our ways. Sometimes God, the only God, not multiple, sorry, that was the S was a mistake in my vernacular. There is only one God. When God fixes our problem, it's at His pleasure on how He gives us a miracle. Amen. God can heal my body in a moment. God could heal my body over time. Amen. God could get me out of a situation right now, or God could fix it in a while. God can do it any way He wants. He's a sovereign, mighty God. He is able to fix my problem, and God's way is always the best way. We might not always think so. But God, I want my miracle right now. You know what? God can give you a miracle right now. But stop pouting if it takes a few days. Or years. God will help me. Praise the Lord. Therefore, he said, or he cut down his stick, cast it in. Here's the miracle. The iron, the axe head, did swim. No, that is a miracle. In my mind, I've said it before, made it look like Jaws. That thing swam from the river to the surface and came to the shore. It might not look like what you were expecting. It might not be what you were expecting. Somebody might have ran the other way. You know, don't be afraid of what God is doing in your life. Don't run from what God has done in a miracle for you. Amen. Get this now. Here it is. A miracle happened. The axe head floated and swam to the shore. And verse number 7 is key, because therefore he said, take it up to thee. And he put his hand and he took it. When God gives you a miracle, that's not a license for you to go out and keep sinning. When God gives you a miracle, take the miracle that God gives you and use it for His kingdom. Use it in the plan and the purpose of God. Use it for what God intended to do with your miracle. Praise the Lord. The widow of Zarephath baked a cake for Elisha, the prophet. And see, God multiplied that simple instruction. Give me a little cake first. And that barrel, or that pot of oil, was able to continue making bread for a drought that lasted over 3 years, more than 1,000 days, they were sustained in that house. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, pause for just a moment. If there is a drought and the kingdom is in desperate times and there's famine in the land, and wouldn't you think I should go to a rich man? Maybe I should go to a farmer. Maybe I should go to somebody with a deep well. Maybe I should go to somebody who has great store. God sent the man of God to a widow woman, to a poor person, to sustain him. Don't you think God can't use you? You may think, well, I don't have any talents. I don't play an instrument, and I don't sing any songs, and I don't do this, or I don't know. Don't disregard what God can do in your life. If God wants to use you, He's a sovereign, mighty God, and God can use anyone for any purpose that He chooses. If God chooses you to multiply the church, then God can use your life to sustain and give substance and to help and to provide. Praise the Lord. Verse number 10. So he arose, they went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. He asked her a simple thing.
And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." Well, that's a little harder. Maybe she could do a cup of water, but now he's asking for a meal. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth," she's about to tell him the truth, "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." It's not a sad story. It's a true story. It's okay that you may have a problem, and God can still use you even if you have a problem. And Elisha said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. I'm going to go gather the sticks. I'm going to make a cake. I'm going to bake it for me and my boy. But make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." I've heard people that were poor. I knew they were poor. I knew they didn't have much. I knew they were not rich. I knew that they had problems. "Oh, but Pastor, I can't afford to pay tithes." If you're poor, you cannot afford to not pay tithes. If you're rich, you know, I've heard, I didn't know any rich people that complained about tithing. But I have heard about people that, "Oh, it was okay when I was poor to pay tithes because the amount was little. But now I'm rich and tithing would be a lot of money." You want to be cursed by God? You want to rob God because you're rich? That's just as wrong as it comes. That's just as backward. That's just as against the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you're poor or if you're rich. Honor God with your substance, and God will bless your house. Amen. God will bless your pocketbook. God will bless your finances. God will bless your home. God will bless your marriage. God will bless... Dude, I missed her the first time. Praise the Lord. God will bless you when you're faithful. "Make for me a little cake first." Verse number 17. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste." What are you? What verse am I? 14. I moved my screen and my eyes got combobulated. "The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." The drought lasted 3.5 years. They did not run out of food, not one day. Every single day they had food. Every single day God provided. Every single day God met the need. Every single time God provided. Amen. Anybody know that's true? That God has provided for your life? Amen. I know it's true in my life. I know God did that for me. Every single day God provided what I needed. Amen. Praise the Lord. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." 1,000 days later, they're still eating. Amen. "They did not run out, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elisha." It was the simple thing that brought the miracle. The widow with 2 sons, creditors had come calling. And that at that time, they had the power, they had authority to take her and her sons and their house and their goods, sell everything, put them in bondage, put them in a debtor's prison. And the mother appeals to the prophet for help. What do you have in the house? She had a little bit of oil in the house. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Her sons are going to be sold into slavery. Verse 2, And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou shalt art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. In my mind, I can see the excitement when they see the miracle. She's in the house, all these borrowed pots and pans and vessels and containers, and she's got everything that she could to put oil in, and they're in the house, they're all empty, and she asks the first son, bring me a vessel. And she's got the little pot, and she pours out, and she's asking the other, hurry up, get another one. And as that son holds that vessel, they're pouring out very quick. Hurry up, go get me another one. And she continues, hurry up, go get me another one. Until all of the vessels are full. Whew. God is really good at miracles. Amen. God can provide for the need. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons and brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God and said, he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou on and thy children of the rest. You know what? God's answer is bigger than our problem. Not only was she able to pay the debt, they had money to live on going into the future. God is able to take care of us when we do the simple thing. Obey the word of the Lord. Jericho, I'm closing with this. Musicians, come, prepare. Jericho was an impregnable fortress. Thick walls that chariots raced on top. It was a place of fortified, of a city that the Israelites, that city was standing between them and God's promised land. God had given Israel to his children, and they were commanded to go. The command came in a way that was different than the generals may have thought. Than the military. No military mind would have conceived the answer that God gave. Go with a candle and march around the city once each day. Do it 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around 7 times. What? Why? Oh, and don't say anything. Be quiet. We don't want any murmuring. We don't want any talking. We don't want anybody to say something negative. Just do this thing. Do the simple thing. Let me read just Just three verses of that. It's really Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 27, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter right now. But it's a really good chapter. You should read it. Joshua chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, it says, "But Joshua," I want to make a point here, "but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her.'" Just do what you said. Bring her out. "And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab," get this now, "comma, and her father, comma, and her mother, comma, and her brethren, comma, and all that she had." It wasn't just Rahab. "And they brought out all her kindred," all her, everybody in her family. Anybody want your family to be saved? I do. Anybody want your kindred, your buddies, your friends? "And they left them without the camp of Israel." You see, they were brought out safely. They were delivered from the battle. Jumping down just a few verses, verse 25. "And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's house, and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." You know what? She did a very simple thing. If I do the simple thing that God asks us to do, God will give us a miracle. Amen. Stand with me.